These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking
to me? I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking.
And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. At long last, the rumors can be put to bed. No more behind-the-scenes chatter or production disagreements to go over. The film that has had a tumultuous road to any start of a premiere of all blockbusters finally makes its debut on the big screen for all audiences this week when Solo, A Star Wars Story premieres this holiday weekend. Joined by Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and once again, we are on the precipice of another Star Wars movie, our second as droid heads discussing it all. Let's start the pod with an anxiety/emotions check, because that has become the norm going into the movies. How's everyone feeling after last week? We know this is not a saga film, so the emotions are maybe not as high, but we have a new Star Wars movie on the big screen. We'll check in with Sam first. Sam, you were not on our last podcast. What are you feeling about this now that we're at the week of the movie?
I got to tell you, I'm through the roof. I'm over the moon. I cannot wait to get in there and see this. Just all the new like clips and footage they released. I mean, I rewatched the trailer probably a dozen times last week, and I can't believe the stunts that Tom Cruise is willing to do. And I think that the Sorry guys, that's an old bit. No, I'm actually getting really excited for it. It's weird. I'd say the early impressions that you guys talked about last week, which was a lot of the, Twitter first impressions, people who had attended the premiere and they hadn't lifted the embargo yet. That didn't have me too excited. I was seeing things that were mixed. I was seeing people say like, oh, it's solid, it's okay, which kind of is like, I don't know, I'd almost rather like a spectacular failure than just an okay movie. In a weird way. But what I'll say that has, I've continued reading, and this week they're, we're now just, a couple days away, and there's a lot more like meatier pieces on like the making of the movie, on Ron Howard, on the director controversy, tons of stuff on Donald Glover. And that stuff has got me really excited. Just reading about, it's really funny, reading about how sturdy and reliable and sort of like dadly Ron Howard is on this production, which like I think Ryan, you've levied as like a criticism against him many times. Like I'm like, oh, that's cool. They got a guy with a real steady hand. I'm excited.
Well, I mean, you said that the reviews have said a lot of it may not be great, but it's fine. Like, that's the Ron Howard special. Also, I just got to say, I did the math on your bit here, Sam.
Yeah.
You said that you implied that you watched the Mission Impossible Fallout trailer a dozen times, which is something I believe. That puts that at a solid 30 minutes of watch time, which means you could have watched a fifth of The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Ryan.
Time. Yep.
Which one's that again?
Oh, no. Sam.
Hey, you guys have an open invitation. Come on out to Brooklyn. Come by my house. We'll do the big old screener. It'll be fun. You'll get to witness me as though I'm seeing it for the first time. Mike, it'll be like we saw it together for the first time.
So we can't even watch the
that
movie.
Sounds appealing.
We have to watch you watching the movie?
Oh, yes. I'm nothing if not an egotist.
Yeah. How big is your TV, Sam? Is it big enough that we don't have to just watch you?
I can guarantee you that of the four of us, I have the smallest TV.
That's a good place for an edit point, Droid Heads. Do you want to drop in any other words?
I have a UK version of the movie that's in 3D that I don't know if it works or not.
I was shocked at this. You said all the accents are different.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Daisy Ridley's American and John Boyega's English in it.
You haven't tested it, Chris?
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't watched it, Chris.
Yeah, no, I haven't tested it yet. I've been waiting for the right moment.
Well, this might be it.
Good thing you paid a premium price for it, huh? You probably had expedited shipping too, right?
Oh, I did, baby.
What would it cost? Like Ryan, 20, 30 bucks?
Like enough money that I could have bought the movie four other ways.
If you could have made the movie at this point.
Speaking of buying the movies, just for any droid heads out there who have not completed their entire digital collection of the Star Wars cinematic world, you can actually buy all of them on iTunes for a discounted price this week of $14.99. So still not cheap, but they're available.
Be careful. You don't want them to do what they did to me with the Marvel movies, which is they made them $14.99 and then they made them $9.99.
You had that happen to you too? It is exactly what I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, I did that last time with the Marvel movies, but I did get the Star Wars digital ones. I think I got it, you know, when The Last Jedi came out. I bought the like six saga movies, and then I bought Rogue One this week, you guys, which you can also just get on if you have a Netflix subscription. But I bought it there too.
Hey man, you have it in perpetuity until Apple decides that it's not available anymore.
Well, yeah, and as though I'm like not going to immediately sign up for the Disney streaming service. Like I'm going to have this movie forever. I'm going to have all these movies forever, but I need them. I need them in every format.
Someone made me rewatch the prequels and I had to pay for them full price, $19.99. I think his name was Ryan.
Hey.
Speaking of Ryan, have you changed any of your feelings in the last week and as we count down with only 2 days remaining before the film premieres?
Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. I feel good. I feel well, you know, I've come to terms with if I don't see this one, that's okay. You know, wow. So that's where I'm living right now.
Okay.
I'm not, crippled with anxiety. Who knows as we get closer? I do think there's a long journey. We're going to see it in New Jersey. I live in Queens, so there's a long journey. So I know that
many obstacles are in your way.
Yes, exactly. I have to transfer trains at least 3 times. So, you know, that's the whole thing. So I think on the day it may be a little more, you know, of an obstacle course that I'm running, but day to day I'm doing okay. Thanks everybody for the kind emails and the thoughts and the prayers. I appreciate it.
I want you to know
it's been going well.
What's that speech in Collateral? It's like the guy dies on the train, just keeps going around the city.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just tell you something, Sam. I was talking and you were screwing with my work.
We got to get Michael Mann to do a Star Wars movie. Yeah. It'd be so wet.
We got to get him on the pod. That dude is thrilled to be everywhere he is.
I want to see a wet Star Wars.
Chris, let's Michael get the check in.
Yet again, Droidheads, feel free to drop any word in there in a remix.
I'm as excited for this movie as I am going to a Chili's on a Thursday night, guys. I'm there.
Are you bringing a date? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm there alone. I'm even more excited.
I know the Chili's is your date spot. So I know that.
You might want to explain to the listeners what that actually means. They might think you're insulting everything about this movie.
Oh, no. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm very
Chris and
excited.
I love Chili's.
We love Chili's. We had a little discussion pre-pod. I am super excited. I think any kind of hesitation I once had, it's been gone. And I'll be honest, I didn't really have that much hesitation. I've always kind of been on board. That's what I'm saying now.
Yeah, was there a day that you weren't going to go see this movie?
I thought we were still talking about Chili's.
There's no way I wasn't going to see this. There's no way I almost thought like maybe I'll just see it the weekend it comes out. But like that's not a possibility. I'm so glad we have tickets. I'm excited to go see it. I'm ready for it. It looks fun. I'm sure I'll see it 5 times and then it'll just be a blur.
So I'm going to say that I am more nervous for this than I have been for the last 3 Star Wars films combined. And it has nothing to do. I'm glad I got that reaction from you, Sam, because it has nothing to do with the actual content of the film. I am more concerned than anything that my wife, who is 9 months pregnant, is going to go into labor in the next 2 days, and I will not be able to see this movie with all of you that I've been looking forward to for the last 6 months, and that I actually won't be there. But if he is my son, The moment the fanfare hits, he will be making his entrance into this world, so he doesn't miss a moment of a Star Wars movie. I just have to say that's
and also phenomenal. He'll understand if you just you stay. Also, you should know this, Mike. We insist when going to movies with people that they turn their phones off. Not on silent,
well,
not on vibrate, fully off.
Ryan, so, she is coming with us, so you'll be next to her as she goes into labor. There won't
I
be a phone
insist,
call.
I also insist that nobody go into labor near me.
It's going to be a field and delivery.
Just, if she does go into labor, just know that if someone needs to walk past me in the aisle, I don't stand up. I just squeeze my legs. I'm just kidding. Of course, the droid heads will drive the ambulance.
Yeah, we'll be there.
I've been pitching to her the last few weeks that if he is born at this or the day of the movie, that he has to be named Han or maybe Chewie.
Yeah,
you know, that has to be the name.
I like Chewie.
That's what they call this whole game is what they call the long con, Mike.
Yeah,
Mike had a calendar out. He was planning this.
Yeah, this is.
I
perfect.
Knew the date before anyone else.
Yeah. I'll make the bet on this day.
Yeah.
9 months from this day.
Wow.
He knew.
Well, so as we continue to look forward, we mentioned at the top of the podcast that, you know, the rumors are done. We don't have to talk about any more of the behind the scenes chatter, except for this one last time, because there is a cover story in Variety magazine about everything that was happening with the production of this film. You can read that article. It is an interesting one. I feel like there's some good insight into the production. But for the most part, the things that really stand out, we'll talk about now because they're not spoilers for the film. No more spoilers. We'll talk about spoilers in our next podcast when we react to Solo. I do feel like there are a couple of standout things that we all can react to, even if you haven't read the article yet. To me, it's interesting because they start the article running through the other standalone films, the other movies that have been made since Disney took over the franchise. And one of the first things they say is that Tony Gilroy came in to fix Rogue One when Gareth Edwards' efforts missed the mark. And all I thought was, man, that's got to be rough to read if you're Gareth Edwards. Mm-hmm. Because you put in the effort to make a Star Wars movie, and for years on, articles are going to say the Edwards missing the mark aspect of this movie, that he struggled. And that just, I can't imagine that not at least somehow hurting him every time he reads it.
And at the hands of Tony Gilroy, too. That guy is the worst. Oh, my God. That interview that Ryan and I both listened to. Oh, yeah. That guy loves reading that every time. He has a Google alert for any... He has a Google alert on Gareth Edwards.
The real spoiler of this whole Variety piece was that everybody has a great PR team because everybody loves everybody and it was all a great experience.
Everybody's got a great PR team except for Gareth Edwards.
Oh my God. It's all like when Chris and Phil left, you know, we had a great time with them and it was sad to see him go. And then I was thrilled when Ron came on because I'd love to work with him. And it's like, really? Right. Like everybody was just like, oh, like we just switched directors in the middle of the shoot.
Right,
great. Yeah. I always wanted to work with Ron Howard.
Yeah, this probably won't upset things.
The biggest movie.
And three directors
ever...
is better than one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so my number one takeaway from the article was the biggest surprise for me was when it said 28-year-old star Alden Ehrenreich.
Right. Oh.
What have you guys done? This is that's depressing. You
Wait,
guys, 28.
I feel like. He's if we know he's 28, how old is Han Solo in A New Hope? Like, I feel like he's younger than 28, right?
No, I think he's early 30s.
No, he's definitely in his 30s.
Anybody knows?
Well, but Harrison Ford will always be older than me, no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah,
that's in my head. Well, he was 35, I think, when they made it, right?
Oh, okay.
It's like Sean Connery was like, he was like 31 or 32 in Dr. No, and he's like. He's like a solid 40 throughout, you know, most of his tenure.
He looks like in my mind, he looks like he's in his mid-50s.
Constantly.
I don't know. 30 isn't 30 then isn't 30 now. You know what I mean?
No, a lot of
he
cigarettes.
He said being 30.
A lot of cigarettes, a lot of laying out in the sun till you turn to leather.
Yeah. Ford looks like crap compared to me now.
There's something that kind of backs up one of my theories that I had either last week or the week before where Lord and Miller weren't like unfit directors. It was just a logistics issue because one crew member said, I got a lot of overtime, which was ultimately their downfall.
Yeah, so I think
they were just running amok.
I think they were pretty out of control. I think they were in terms of running a set and in terms of the schedule that, you know, you can get away with on a smaller improvised, you know, comedy that they're making with that type of budget. You know, they build that time in, and when you don't have entire teams building sets and practical effects and costumes and a bunch of people doing digital effects waiting for shots that they need, you know, like you can do that. But when you magnify the scale to something the size of a Star Wars movie, you know, playing fast and loose like doesn't work.
Think of the Lego movie where they just recorded all the audio and then animated it somewhat while it was happening, but also after the fact. It was probably easier to execute that when you were just messing around with the recording studio because you had openness to get it as many times as you wanted to.
When you have Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum riding bikes around the park, like, it's right. Not that big a deal.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It did make me a little bit sad to not see the movie that they were trying to make, and I know it wasn't logistically possible after what we read, but when they talked about Phil and Chris were hired to make a movie that was unexpected and would take a risk and not a traditional Star Wars movie, that was one of the first things that really excited me about this film and hearing they were a part of it, because I thought, all right, great, we're going into new territory. And now we probably are not getting that. And who's to say whether or not theirs would have been better? It might have been way too far away from what we expect in Star Wars. But I guess I'm just sad because I had so much optimistic hope for what they were going to bring to this movie.
Well, hopefully that spirit will still be there. I mean, they're still listed as executive producers. They set the course of the movie. They did do 30% of it. So I have to imagine that they still have an impact on the final product.
They do, but it's not to the degree that they would have changed it if they had finished it themselves.
Sure.
Chris, I don't think their exec producer credits are really like heavy involved. You know?
I don't think they were in the editing room.
Oh no, they're there every day wearing like a mustache and silly glasses. And like, what about this?
Oh my god, all of the sources are them.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the most striking part of the piece to me was when Ron Howard had lunch with Kathleen Kennedy on a lunch meeting that had been on the books for a month.
Yeah.
And she brought the Kasdans with her. And then after an hour, Ron went, "So, how's it going?"
the description of that meeting was great.
Nicole described it as me and that person I was having an affair with met in that hotel like coincidentally before we broke up. You know, like it's just like so obvious.
Hey, why are you here?
I really thought that the most important thing you were going to take away from this article, Ryan, was when it was stated that Howard was inseparable from director of photography Bradford Young, because you can totally see the love affair between Howard, who seems super invested in how the film looked, and Lord Miller didn't seem too fussed with that aspect, really.
Yeah, I what really stuck with me is that they didn't seem too fussed. What a strange way to say that. But yes, that was very striking to me. I was very glad to hear that, because if you have a genius like Bradford Young working, like, why wouldn't you like attach, you know, grab those coattails, Ron. Grab them. Be relevant again, Ron. You know, like, it's just go for it.
Well, this begrudging respect from you.
A great pairing for Lando. A Star Wars story. Solo. Solo Lando.
Yeah, let's hope they give Ron Howard really the keys to the kingdom on this one.
I don't think he's getting a three-picture deal after this.
We'll see.
Mike, you were saying that reading some of this, you know, it made you, you know, curious and potentially long for like the version of this that we'll never get, right? With what they were trying to do. And I definitely see that to some extent, but also the Bradford Young comment like did make me realize like I don't think I want a funny like if they weren't caring, if they weren't fussing over every shot, like
The one
thing that's like always solid gold on a Star Wars movie is like, it's going to look awesome. You know, no, I mean, you know, maybe the effects of some of the prequels haven't aged well, but like we discovered in our rewatch that like actually they do age pretty well. Like when you acknowledge the time and like how they were done, how they advanced everything else, you know? So I don't know, whatever, your mileage may vary on that comment. But the idea though is like Star Wars movies have to look like, you know, $250 million or whatever they cost to make.
$175 million.
No, also, this one was $250 with the reshoots.
This was $250 with the,
it's the most expensive Star Wars movie ever made. Isn't
those reshoots will cost you.
Also, that comment that Glover closes with, you know, three directors for the price of one. It's three directors for the price of three. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Wow. And what's crazy is that
I don't think anybody did it for a song.
I think they got 2.5 directors for the price of four.
The reason they got Ron Howard was because they knew because they knew that basically George Lucas would be directing the movie.
The
from behind the curtain.
Yes.
I got that one passage about George Lucas giving notes on the movie. I got very like strangely taken with it.
Yeah.
Which I can
was very read. Like, oh man, they still call him. You know, like it was very touching to me, strangely. Like, obviously I love George, but it was just,
yeah.
I was like, oh wow, like there's actually the fact that his fingerprint is on this movie in any way, even if it's like the smallest detail, I just thought was rad.
I will briefly share for the listeners who've not read the article, the part that Ryan's referring to is the hand of George Lucas II happens to be present in the film. In a romantically charged scene between Ironrick and Clark, staged in Lando's cape closet, there was a beat when Han takes Kira's cloak, hangs it up, and moves on to the next bit of the business. But Lucas had a note, if he could be so bold, he said, you know, Han wouldn't bother to hang it up. And he then sort of did it, and George became Han Solo for a second. The body language was there, and the attitude was there. And
that part made me uncomfortable.
It made me laugh a little bit, because I don't know if George Lucas has ever really embodied Han Solo or Harrison Ford.
I could see him as a young gun, because he used to drive like muscle cars. And he's like a race car driver.
You could see him as a young gun now.
Yeah, that's
now I see him.
He can channel
also,
that part of him.
I wouldn't accept advice from a man who said like the movies that I make, no one wants to see.
I'd also, be like, I get what you're saying.
I'm just kidding,
Ryan.
George Lucas. If you want to, you,
Chris just said on record he wouldn't take any advice from
that's
George
incorrect.
Lucas.
That's incorrect. I said as a joke. George, I love you.
No, like Ryan, I get what you're saying in terms of like it is very sweet in that section that you know that George is involved, and I understand what you're saying. My read on it was kind of different though, where I was like, there, it felt like such a stretch to like claim some involvement from him, and the idea that it was like the description of like the way he commented about throwing a cape and then did it on set, I was like, oh, that's so dumb. But like it, you know, I'm sure like when I see it in the movie, I'll probably have the reaction you did. Like I'll get a kick out of like what I know from reading that article. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't even know. Like, were they implying that he was on set? I feel like he was just like in a script meeting or something.
Oh,
no, he was on set.
There's some photos of him
on set for sure.
Oh my! It's a good thing I didn't, guys. Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now we're going to see the
George
emotion
for
from
episode
Ryan.
10.
Yeah. That's
hashtag LucasX.
Do you mean episode 9 part 2?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Man. Come on.
Or maybe even 9 part 3. They're going to do it. They're finally going to do it. The 3 part finale.
They're going to do a trilogy of like the final movie in the trilogy, which is the third trilogy in a trilogy of trilogies.
We could do it.
I think he should, speaking of firing duo directors, maybe George hops on for the Russo brothers, directs Infinity War Part 2.
Ooh.
I love the Russos. I think they've done a great job, but if someone said George will finish this out, this thing that he almost definitely has not seen a single frame of, let's do it. If Howard could do it, George could do it.
I did see something interesting. The final, we're going to give a brief Infinity War spoiler. It's not really a spoiler, but in one of the battles in Infinity War, they do those big globes, and all the good guys have these shields that like just like light up. It looks like a bunch of Gungans. That scene is directly lifted from Star Wars.
Infinity War ends on a Phantom Menace note.
That is true.
It's the Phantom Menace of the MCU.
I thought it was strange though when Cap slipped in his own poop.
Yeah,
I thought that was strange.
That was, they even said Bantha Poodoo.
The talk of future Star Wars film titles brought to mind to me a possible horrible title. Speaking of, say, a movie like White House Down, at some point, because Chris, You know, you've always mentioned how this could be the end of Millennium Falcon. So at some point, there'll just be a film that's called Falcon Down.
Falcon Down.
Can we? I'm sorry. This is a real tangent.
Okay.
And I'm willing to go down it. If you'll go
that's where we're going right now.
White House Down is a strange title because every time I hear it, I'm like, is there a pun that I'm missing? Is there?
No.
You know, like, I always wonder this.
Well, it's because it came out at the same time as something that was, what, Olympus Has Fallen?
Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah. Yes. Which, there is London Has Fallen also, right?
There is. I haven't seen a single one of these three films, by the way.
I've seen the first two. I've seen the two that came out together.
But so I think
White
the Has
House
Fallen
Down, there's no, like,
sense.
There's no, like, there's no phrase in the lexicon that's just, like, House Down or something.
No.
Okay.
Maybe at like a casino or something. The house is down.
No, but like
why is this confusing you? Did you not know what it meant? You know what it means.
No, I know.
You know
but
it, like
just,
you get it.
Okay.
White House Down. Solo. A Star Wars story. White House Down.
Sorry, I'm back in the Little League field.
Also, to get. What sport are you playing?
No, I think it's like they had a call sign, and if it was a call sign that whatever, it's Tango Down. Yeah. It's White House Down.
Yeah, but do you understand the cadence of it, Sam? Because it's so nonsensical. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Sam yelled at me. I don't like this.
Wow.
I think this has turned into a real trigger for me.
I do like Falcon Down. I think Falcon Down, if there's a movie, just, you know, like that Steven Spielberg movie, The Duel, which is like a truck with no driver. If it was just the Falcon, like in the Slave One, was just following behind it. With no driver, that would be the movie I want.
Do you think there's any kind of like juice drink that they serve on Lando's Falcon? They say Falcon Punch.
Falcon Punch, yes,
that'd be cool.
Yes,
I do.
And he winks at the camera.
That'd be real cool.
I gotta say, Donald could pull it off. He could pull it off.
Yeah.
Did you guys also see there was also a piece in Variety released today? It was like kind of a companion or like part of the solo piece that was a Donald Glover interview, and it, like some of his quotes in the solo like filmmaker part that like piece that we were talking about earlier were from this interview, but that was a really great read. I just thought it was like they talked to him about sort of like the cultural moment he's in and what he like his career like where it's at right now, but then also you know they talked a lot about Star Wars and about taking on this role, and this is a great read. Mike, I think you especially will enjoy it as the big fando of the group.
I am. Wow. And I'll take that moniker. I don't mind it. I'm surprised I missed that. I'm sad I haven't read it. I actually do think this is a good opportunity to talk about a couple of things that Donald Glover has said and some other words that came out from, I don't know which screenwriter they attributed it to, but a screenwriter, so one of the Kasdans, I imagine, it must have been probably John, said that Lando was a pansexual. Donald Glover's reaction, which was, isn't everyone a pansexual in space? How could you not be a pansexual if you're in space? There's all of the different creatures to have relations with.
Japan.
I think it was a great answer. Yeah. I think it was a great answer.
Yeah.
I think it's a great answer, too.
That is a great answer. I think it's good.
And maybe we should all learn a thing or two from Lando. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Lando, he's pushing the boundaries. It's a far cry, though, from the Lando we see in Empire, where he seems pretty focused in that one.
I do think there was a good point that was made, though, which is until you start to reflect that. But until you start to reflect some of these progressive ideas in the film, it doesn't really matter if you say after the fact, oh, yeah, he happens to be a pansexual. That doesn't really mean anything. You need to actually show a character representing that.
Yeah, right. It's like if you're gonna like, I understand that like this that Han Solo may not be the place for them to like show everyone's sexual relationships, but also I agree with you that like if these franchises are gonna talk the talk, they also have to walk the walk.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like there's a lot of talk. Yeah. I believe it was in Black Panther that there was a character that was bisexual that they cut the scene, and that explicitly like showed that. And but they mentioned it as if like, and like, I think it's appreciated that they even shot the scene,
sure.
But it would have been really appreciated if they had put the scene in. That would have really helped with representation as opposed to saying that like, oh, well, we were gonna. but we didn't. You know, it's just like it's a step in the right direction, but it's not quite there in terms of representation and intersectionality.
I think you're right on the Black Panther case. And was it? I can't remember. It was one of the recent movies. I was thinking, is it maybe Thor or was it Black Panther? It doesn't matter. You know, I agree with you that like if you have cut the scenes entirely, but then you can't then take credit for like trying to do it or like considering doing it, because obviously you decided for whatever reason you weren't going to do it. But I think that the Lando situation may or may not be different, because, you know, I think it depends on what we see in the movie. But if if nothing in the movie contradicts it, you know, if he comes off in the film as, you know, as a pansexual, as sexually attracted to all types of beings, of, you know, regardless of, you know, species or alien creature or race or gender or whatever,
droids,
then if that is shown, or if that's not contradicted in the movie and they've said this publicly, then I think like it would it be stronger to actually depict it and get into it? Maybe, but but it's not useless. Like, it doesn't do nothing to have mentioned it. And it has started a conversation with people now, like, watch the movie with that in mind, which is something that a lot of people would have never done before. So there's value. You know?
But Sam, how do you feel about the Star Trek, the third film, where it ends up being that there's a gay character, but they only show it for a brief moment and it's never really part of the story or informs in any way who John Cho's character is?
I thought it was fine. I thought it was.
It seemed throwaway to me, I guess.
I thought they talked it up a lot, but they didn't do anything with it. I thought, though, within the context of that movie, because, you know, like romantic relationships in that franchise aren't like a huge thing aside from Uhura and Spock. I thought that the Sulu revelation was kind of handled beautifully because it was casual. In terms of obviously not his relationship, but the way that they depicted it, they didn't really put a button on it. It was as if he was greeting anybody, was greeting their family. And I thought that that was kind of like a beautiful way that Star Trek has handled things like that, which is just being like, this is the world as we want it to be.
That's fair.
And we will depict it as if this is not anything spectacular. This is what it should be like. Yeah. You know, that like this man is greeting his family no matter what his family who his family consists of. And like I thought that that was handled beautifully, actually.
Like an outsized reaction was made of it whenever people actually discussed it in the press. And so maybe you expected more to be made of it in the movie. But I agree with Ryan that like it, while it did maybe feel a little bit throwaway or toss off, I agree that firstly, you know, it's sort of a beautiful way of handling it to show like this is just like any relationship and completely normal in this future. But also, it would have been out of place in that movie to have you would have had to dive into everybody's, you know, relationships to the whatever that airbase starbase was, you know, deeper. And so it was in there exactly as much as it needed to be, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just that there's been this trend of scratching the surface. And that was probably appropriate. And that's not something I had considered initially, but I think you make a very good point, both Ryan and Sam, about that. It's just you want to see it be embraced and see maybe a story where there is a love story within one of these blockbuster films that does highlight that.
Oh, for sure. That's like front and center, too. Yeah,
I have the Solo visual dictionary, and it lists, it has Lando's cape, and right next to it, it says pansexual cape. So
it's official, guys.
There you go. It's
just about how he dresses? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right.
But I agree with you, Mike, the cape. I think in terms of representation and intersectionality I would love to see a movie that depicts a front and center relationship like Sulu's in Star Trek Beyond that also presents it in a matter of fact way, as opposed to, you know, like patting itself on the back kind of way.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, that, you know, this is, yeah, this like, is just,
look, yeah, look,
yeah, we're representing look, right, this yeah. kind of relationship instead which of being is like, just ooh, as relevant look, as any other kind of relationship.
Yeah. Instead of being like, ooh, look what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. One, that's hopefully the next step, you know,
well, one of the major things we've not talked. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I was just gonna say, with a movie that gets this many eyes, I think a small step in that direction is an amazing thing. It has a deeper impact, I think, than most people realize.
What I'm saying is maybe the Lando movie should be a sexual odyssey across space. You know what I mean?
Hey, maybe it is. We don't know.
I'd love that.
Donald Glover did say that if he wrote the Lando standalone film, it might be Frasier in space. So,
oh. Hey, if they're casting a Niles. If they're casting a Niles, I'm going out for it. Man.
Baby, I hear the blues are calling.
Shouldn't it be the jizz band are calling?
Yeah, baby, I hear the jizz band are calling.
Oh, my God. Wonder how Frasier would dissect that statement.
The biggest part of this article we have not discussed is that Harrison Ford did pass on his reaction to Ron Howard. And Ron Howard said, I've never heard Harrison effusive about anything, and he was raving about it. He's seen the movie twice, and he said that Alden nailed it. He made it his own. Can we believe anything in that statement?
Here's the thing, is that I believe him, and I'm not comparing the two in any way. Yeah. But it read like a Donald Trump tweet. So he was like, just spoke to Harrison, never excited about anything. He said, nailed it.
Alden's gonna be huge.
More people showed up for this movie than any movie ever.
Oh God, now we're all doing voices.
My favorite movie star said my movie was great. He loved it.
That's how that read to me.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not comparing the two.
He probably
said Ron Howard's comment has almost no chance of leading to an international incident, so that's a good thing. But it did read like, I talked to Harrison. He's never excited about anything, but he's excited about this kid. Harrison, even though he was in a room with this kid last week, has no idea who this kid is. He couldn't say his name if he tried. Made it his own. What does that even mean?
Harrison Ford is probably like, I don't care. Say whatever you want to say about the
what
movie.
He said was, he said, yeah, he's great. He's known me. That's what he meant.
he said he made it its own. I guess he kind of had to.
I mean, made it his own is what we've said a lot in movies. That's what we talk about when anybody takes on a character that we've known before. So yeah. I think that's part of the phrase code. That you hear when this kind of thing comes up.
That's code.
It's code for Harrison didn't know how to put the screener on.
It's code for, he put the DVD in backwards. He was just watching Attack of the Clones.
Callista, help me with this goddamn thing.
I hit input.
I can't imagine him doing any of those things. He hasn't turned on a TV in years.
Can we make Harrison Ford just a movie of him trying to like figure out a stereo receiver? He's got like 30 remotes in a box.
Remember when he played Uncharted?
No.
Do you remember this? Naughty Dog paid him like an ungodly amount of money.
Are you kidding me? Really?
So, yeah, there's a video of him playing Uncharted, and it's just him like holding a controller in his hand. You know, like the way a baby would hold a controller. And he's just like, oh, this looks really fine. Yeah, it's like, look at him. Look at him there on the screen. Wow, that's really something. Like, it's, you know,
can't wait to watch it and also feel so uncomfortable while
watching it. It was really something.
Wow. It's a Japanese commercial. Super interesting. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
One other thing from the article, and I think, Sam, I thought of you while reading this, was that Emilia Clarke was talking about her role playing Kira and how there's all these different great female characters who are now part of Star Wars. And she said, but I really appreciated what she had to say, because she said there's mystery to her with regards to where does she stand, is she good, is she not good, the classically doesn't always know, classic role that doesn't always go to females. And she said it's great because you don't have to describe her as a strong woman. She's just a woman. She's just a character in the series that doesn't have to be put into these terms of, you know, qualified as a woman. It's just another character in the way that it should be.
You know, I highlighted that. I have this as a highlight. Just read any interview with any actress who's been
in the last
50 years. This struck me very much like the same way. Like every Bond girl talks about how it's like, well, she's not a Bond girl, not like the others. She's, you know, autonomous and strong and like, you know, more of a character and more interesting. And I sort of
See, but Sam, when you put it, when you put it in the category of Bond girls, it's very different than putting it in the category of Daisy Ridley and Felicity Jones and Kelly Tran.
If I could here, like, listen, I'm not saying that Star Wars throughout history has had like has done a great job of representing strong female characters. I think that they have done made good strides to amend that in the last, you know, few years or so. But to hold this up to the standard of Bond girls, I think is a little apples and oranges going
they've
on.
They haven't always done the best job, but they've always done a better job than Eon Productions.
Well,
no,
when,
absolutely.
When Bond girls, just, like,
you guys,
yeah.
You guys, like, acknowledge that what I'm actually saying is not to be critical of Emilia Clarke or, like, especially like you said, Ryan, like the recent Star Wars films in particular have been really, really, you know, much stronger in like, you know, depicting like better female characters. I'm just talking about like the statement itself, like reads like to me very reminiscent of those statements, you know, which it, I don't
it's
know.
Like a it's publicist just, wrote it.
Yeah, it's yeah, yeah it, but nothing about that to me felt like unique or like a perspective. Oh, that was a thing that I thought was really funny. Also, sorry, go ahead, Mike. What were you going to say?
No, she did an interview in Cannes when the film was being premiered, and I didn't feel like it was a publicist writing it. Maybe it's just because she's a great actress, and I thought she actually had some emotion behind what she was saying, but it seemed to resonate because I thought she really believed it.
Well, here's the thing, and like, let's not, I don't want to imply that we're trying to take like agency away from Emilia Clarke here. I'm sure that she does mean it. I think that the actual structure of the statement sounds like a publicist wrote it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, you know, like she is a very good actress who like, you know, is very successful and probably can pick parts as she wants to. So, you know, the fact that she wanted to do this, I'm not trying to take away, you know, certainly not trying to take away from her agency or decision in this. Meaning her personal agency, not like CAA.
Ryan is the most powerful man in Hollywood.
I understand the skepticism as well, though, that the creative leads, two of the main creative leads on this movie are like white men in their 60s or 70s. You know what I mean? But at the same time, the main creative lead, meaning the person who's writing all the checks, is Kathleen Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Who I think since taking over Lucasfilm has done great things to make strides.
There are so many people on the internet who would disagree with you.
Yeah.
What about Kathleen Kennedy?
Yo, I went down the rabbit hole of actually looking up some of this stuff, and I really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys,
I could guess their handle.
Just to shift in on the topic of women in Star Wars, I was at a bar recently.
Chris.
And I'm giving it 77% chance that this is the scenario. But I saw a recognizable woman enter the bar. She was sitting at the bar. She was with someone else and they had ordered food. She was wearing a very large hat. And
the last time I told you she doesn't eat at Chili's.
So it was a particularly nice Chili's. And she turned her head and I swear to you, it was Daisy Ridley. And somebody ran up to her, got a picture taken. I don't know if it was her or not, but I think I saw Daisy Ridley. I think that's a good sign for Solo. I think it's like a good luck thing.
To quote the Variety article, Miss Ridley was not made available for comment.
Right. Think that's because she was at this bar. But I feel like it's like we've been blessed with a cast member of the Star Wars in our vicinity.
She so could have been on the pod, Chris. Could have been on the
sign.
Pod.
I did not. I basically
should have run up to her with a microphone. Celebrities love that.
I freaked out and I just couldn't do anything. Honestly, I didn't know what to do.
Chris is still at the. He's recording.
I'm
from
still
the
here.
Bar.
I'm at the bar. Yes.
Hoping she comes back.
Yeah,
Ryan.
It's pretty wild though.
I found the other quote that I wanted to read you, which was from Ron Howard when he said. But the one thing that I could bring to it was objectivity, which I just thought like read to me. Again, I know what he meant and I'm taking this totally out of context, but it read to me like I couldn't bring any perspective to it. I could just really be objective.
Here's the thing I couldn't bring to it. Knowledge of the script, knowledge of the story.
I hadn't
raw
read
talent.
a vision.
I bring.
Wow.
My own opinions.
Object. Yeah. Which is basically just saying, hey, I didn't know much, but here I am.
I also think that was what's it? How do you pronounce his name? The new Chewbacca actor?
Ron Howard.
Jonas Watomo.
Was he interviewed in this? Because I feel like they're also giving him a lot of press for this, which they should be. And I think they're planting seeds for a Chewie movie.
He was not interviewed in this article, but you're right. He's gotten a lot of press. I think he's
Do you think they're just breaking it to us easy that Peter Mayhew's dead?
No.
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 Are you sure?
No.
He's tweeting all the time. You think those photos are archived?
Is he really?
Photos?
He's on Twitter?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
fun.
Yeah. I think
Pete.
I think they're teasing him out and putting him more out front because I think we're gonna want a Chewie movie after this. I never thought I would want it. It's fun to say, Chewie movie.
But how do you do that? How do you execute that? I mean, I'm sure there are smarter people than me to be able to put that into a film. But if he's the lead, what do you do?
I mean,
it's a foreign film. Subtitles the entire time.
We know what not to do. Based on the holiday special. I think it can be done, though. I think it can be done.
I love that actor. He's a good actor, but I loved it when he sued Mark Zuckerberg for all that money that he stole from him. He looks like a Winklevoss guy.
Wow, deep cut.
We're men of Harvard.
All right, let's pick up
Chris,
the edit here.
We are men of Harvard.
I don't think they're going to do a Chewie movie. I think that they are leaning into his enthusiasm in the role, the fact that he is like young and going to be one of those characters, like C-3PO and R2 have been throughout the trilogy. Like Chewie's always going to be there. So I don't think they're setting him up necessarily for his own series, but I think they know that if they do an Obi-Wan movie, Chewie's going to pop up in it. If they do a Lando movie, Chewie will be there. You know, if they do Han Solo sequels, he'll be there. He's obviously going to be in the continuing saga films. I think they're just engaging him in the way that you might an Anthony Daniels or someone who's making them just part of the fabric that fans can hang on to as other lead actors maybe come and go. Yeah. Like he will be always there.
Yeah. Well, maybe just don't give him a wife in this movie then, or as partner.
It opens they already up have. Too many questions.
I know. That's what, that's what I'm
too
saying.
Too many questions.
Yeah. There's so many questions, Sam. I feel sad for you. we never thought we'd see Harrison Ford playing Uncharted 3, but I guess it's out there.
It's true. And here we are, guys.
Yeah.
Well, on that note,
comes out in 2 days.
On that note, I think we're ready, guys. I think we've talked about this movie a lot. Chris, go ahead if you want to wrap things up.
Yeah. Can I just say that I feel like we still have that same anxious energy that we had before The Last Jedi. I remember doing a pod before that, and we were all kind of super hyped up. I feel like it's there. We're kind of ignited atoms here. We're kind of flying all over the place. I think we're genuinely excited deep down.
Wow. That's the colloquial phrase you were searching for?
Ignited atoms. I spent a lot of time in labs. People are doing testing on my brain.
Chris, how you doing? You all right there, bud? You doing okay, bud?
We will be
back. See you guys at the theater, huh? Droidheads, come up. Don't be shy.
We've got the next podcast will be our reaction pod to Solo. It'll be our first reactions, and we'll have an in-depth one following that. But exciting times. I'm ready for another Star Wars movie. It's only been 6 months, but it feels appropriate that we have another Star Wars movie. I'm glad we're not waiting an entire year between films.
Mike will also be revealing the name of your baby in the next.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed. And his social security number, so feel free to steal that as well.
Hey.
That'll do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Join us next time as we get to talk about a new Star Wars movie.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.